Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this evening is the gospel reading for tonight from John chapter 13. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, during this Lenten season, we have been focusing on the Gospel of John, and we have been looking at various persons who were involved one way or the other in the passion of the Christ, various disciples, various other leaders, and the role that they played in all that went on as Jesus headed to Jerusalem to suffer and die and rise again. Tonight we continue in the Gospel according to John. But one of the things that you may not have realized about the Gospel according to John is that there is no record in John of Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. John leaves that out. Apparently, he assumed that his readers already knew about the Lord's Supper. The Gospel according to John was the last of the four Gospels that was written down. So he assumed they already knew about the Lord's Supper. He told them about other things that went on that night. They would have already known that on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Drink of it, all of you, this is my blood of the covenant, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." John knew that his readers would remember those things, but John wanted them to remember something else that happened that night. John wanted them, and he wanted us, to remember a very surprising act of Jesus. In the middle of the meal, the Passover meal, Jesus rose from the table. He took off his outer clothing. He tied a towel around his waist, and he began to wash his disciples' feet. This astounded the disciples, because normally in that day, feet would be washed upon entering a person's home. You don't do that during dinner. And normally in that day and in that time, foot washing was done by servants, certainly not by your Lord and teacher. So what a surprise it was for them in the middle of the meal that Jesus, of all people, would begin to wash his disciples' feet. But that isn't the only surprise. There is another, even greater surprise here, which is that Jesus washed the feet even of Judas. This was the Judas whom Satan had entered. This was the Judas who was about to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew before he washed Judas' feet that Judas would do this. So not only does Jesus do the work of a servant in the middle of a meal, but he also does this for the very one who would betray him. Jesus takes into his hands the feet of his enemy, and he washes them in humble service, in holy love. Why would he do this? Why would Jesus wash the feet of the one who would betray him? For John, as he writes his gospel, the answer is simple. He says, "Having loved his own who were in the world, Jesus now showed them the full extent of his love." Jesus is showing them the full extent of his love. Jesus would love them all. He would love those who followed him, and he would love the one who betrayed him. He would love those who fled from him, and he would love those who would deny him. Jesus would love them all in the fullest way possible, to the last moment possible. This was the full extent of Jesus' love. So, consider the options that Jesus had in this moment. He knew what was coming. He would soon be betrayed and arrested and falsely accused and beaten and crucified. He could have chosen to act accordingly. He could have refused to speak to Judas, who would betray him. He could have lashed out in anger at Peter, who would deny him. He could have turned his back on the rest of his disciples, all of whom would flee from him when he needed them most. Had Jesus done any of these things, we would have understood. In fact, we would have agreed with him, with his actions, since you and I, many, many times in this world, have done those exact things against those who hurt us. Isn't that what we usually do when we are betrayed? You lash out. You bear a grudge. You carry that anger and that bitterness, and you refuse to let it go for the rest of your life. In fact, you let your life revolve around that hurt that someone caused you. We all know people who live this way. Truth is, we are people who live this way. And so we would understand if Jesus were to live this way too. Jesus chose to go a different direction. Instead of letting anger or hate or bitterness be the center of his life, he chose instead to love. He let love be the center of his life. Divine love, sacrificial love, a love that is patient and kind, a love that does not envy or boast, a love that is not arrogant or rude. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices at the truth. This love bears all things and believes all things and hopes all things and endures all things. Jesus is God's surprising love come into the world. According to that love, Jesus offers his life for those who oppose him. While we were still sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for us. That is God's surprising love, a love that never ends. When faced with a time of hatred and betrayal, Jesus brings about a time of certain love. As John had said earlier in his gospel, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And here Jesus reveals that salvation on the night when he was betrayed, not only in washing his disciples' feet, but also in offering his own body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins. That love continues to this day. Every time that we celebrate the Lord's Supper, Jesus places his certain love in our midst. Every time we read God's Word, Jesus speaks this certain love into our midst. Every time we remember our baptism, we remember Jesus' love among us. Jesus' life did not revolve around himself. He did not come to serve himself. Jesus' life revolved around you, around all of us. And in that love, he died for your sins and rose again for your salvation. In that love, he serves you with his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. God's love in Christ is present here tonight for you. Jesus' life did not revolve around hate. Jesus' life revolved around his love for you and all mankind. What does your life revolve around? Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.